Hey, welcome to Westside Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. Here at Westside, we're all about equipping believers to succeed in life and mature in Christ as they reach, win, and disciple others. In just a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging message. But before we get into it, if we can serve you in any way by helping you grow in your walk with God, we want to connect with you at wcspokane.com/connect. Fill that out, and someone from our team will reach out to you. Now let's get ready to study the Word together.
You guys ready for some Word? Yeah. Open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. He's helping us learn about our authority. Amen? No more are we going to get bowled over by the enemy. We're going to take the fight to him. You know, the enemy does not want you to take the fight to him. Did you know that? He would rather you believe there is no enemy. That's the best place to be. That you're just fighting with your neighbors and your relatives and your elected officials. That's what your fight is. No, come on now. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Come on, there's things that are going on behind the scenes, amen, that we can't see with our physical eyes, but we can sense with our spirits. And we need to recognize where that fight is. Stop fussing and fighting with people. People are not your problem. Did you know that? I realize I don't know your relatives. But you don't know mine either. Yeah? Your fight is not with people. They will aggravate you to no end on occasion. Right? But your fight's not with people. Come on, let's take this to where the fight is. Yeah? I told this story before, but you need to hear it again. When I was in second grade, I was what modern day called bullying. I was bullied as a second grader by a grade up. Just gave me a hard time all the time. Pushed me around, made fun, and I was just sick of it. Told my parents about it, and my dad's suggestion was, let's pray for him. I'm not praying for that rascal. Well, I'm going to pray for him. It's going to be something like, Lord, get him, right? You ever pray a prayer like that? It's rotten to the core. But we started praying for him. That the Lord would bless him and help him and strengthen him and give him peace. That he would know Jesus like never before. And in 2 weeks' time, I went from having a bully to an advocate. Somebody that was watching out for me and telling other people to knock it off. I'm like, this is amazing. Who else can we pray for? But you know, we attacked the source, right? The source was there's something going on in his life that was causing him some problems that reflected in how he treated other people. Yeah? Just find the source. Pray for the source. Lord, bless him. Help him. Help him to see you. Help him to see clearly the truth that they need to see. Amen? Ephesians 1 says, these are the Ephesians prayers. We went over this the beginning of this series in Ranking Up. The Ephesians prayers, man, you should be praying for these for yourself and somebody else every day. But in the middle of the Ephesians 1 prayer, he says, and he put all things, that's the Lord, put all things under Jesus' feet. And he gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, that's Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Amen? And Jesus is the head. And Jesus can do nothing apart from the body. So we have authority. Amen. Ephesians 2:6 says he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's authority. Where are we sitting? Come on, help me out. Where are we sitting? In Christ, in heavenly places. Spiritually speaking, that's our position. That's our authority. We have authority. Yea, we look down on principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named. Come on, we look down upon. We're in a position of authority above every name. COVID, cancer, diabetes. Come on. High blood pressure. We look down on everything that has a name. We have authority over that. Speak to your body. Take authority over that stuff. Amen? Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Come on, we talked about this last week. Jesus made a public spectacle of the enemy when he whooped him. Paraded him through downtown, said, beaten. Beaten. Yeah? All the enemy has is just big, scary talk. Do you know that? You ever seen those old movies? And I mean old movies. Come on now. Go back to me. Charlie Chaplin days. Kids are like, Charlie Chaplin? Who is that? And inevitably, there's always going to be some sort of a fight in a ring, and there's this big brute of a guy and this little bitty guy, and the little bitty guy gets in there and goes, I got to fight him. And he spends his whole time just evading and avoiding this big, scary guy. And I think we get this idea that we're this little guy, and the enemy's this big guy, and we're just supposed to evade and avoid. But the truth is, we've already won. That's right. He wants us to think that he's big and scary and all-powerful, and he's not. He's been defeated. He's been whooped. Yeah? All we got to do is show up and enforce the victory. And we win. We're not left powerless. He gave us the name of Jesus. He gave us Jesus' authority. This is our Heavenly Father. And he gave us the blood of Jesus. Those are mighty weapons. They're mighty weapons. Come on, there's nothing that can hold you back. Thank you, Lord. I told you last week to take your vitamins. Y'all taking your vitamins? Come on, take those vitamins. Amen? Take a multi, take some zinc, take some garlic. Boost your immune system, right? But take your spiritual vitamins too. Get your vaccine. You know, I believe in vaccine. It's called Psalm 91. That's your vaccine. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Come on, who knows the song? And my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Cha-cha-cha. That's how we taught the girls. They love the cha-cha-cha part. Come on, take Psalm 91. He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Come on, no plague comes near my dwelling. Yeah? That's your vaccine. That's your vitamins. The Word of God is living and powerful, and it works in us when we'll ingest it into our spirits and apply it to our lives. Yeah? Take your vitamins. Amen. Don't be moved. Don't be moved by fear, only by the Word. Amen? We talked last week about Joshua. God told him, everywhere you walk, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I will give you as an inheritance. Well, we have a promise to walk in the earth, to walk out these promises, but you got to do something. God was not going to give Joshua and the Israelites the promised land without them crossing the Jordan and fighting for it. He said, I'll give you the victory, but you have to go in there. Overwhelming victory for the Israelites. Just wiped out group after group after group. And these groups had 40 years to vacate while the Israelites just hovered in the desert waiting to cross the Jordan. 40 years they were worried about Israel coming across that river. Come on, God gave them ample opportunity, but they didn't leave. God gave them the victory, amen? There's victory in your life you're going to have to cross the Jordan for. You're going to have to take a step of faith. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to do something that's uncomfortable for you to go to the other side. But there's victory over there. You can hang out in the desert, and he'll take care of you. He'll make sure your clothes don't rot and fall off your body. Make sure that you got food to eat, water to drink. But it's still desert, and it's hot, and it's dry, and there's no trees. But the promised land. Come on now, you're drinking out of wells you didn't dig, and eating from fruit farms you didn't plant, and living in houses you didn't build. The promised land's good, but you got to cross the Jordan. Thank you, Lord. We possess all authority that Christ delegated to the church. Every believer, from new to old, has the same authority over the enemy as another. Brand new baby Christian, seasoned 40-year veteran. Same authority in Christ Jesus. We should all be learning and growing so we can operate in that authority that we have. Yeah? Turn with me to Ephesians 6. You guys doing okay? Thank you, Lord. Verse 10, the armor of God. Well, do you know we have weapons at our disposal as believers? Weapons are important. They're a deterrent a lot of times. But they're meant for the offensive. Yeah? They're meant for the offensive. I think we got to recognize that sometimes we've just been sitting in the Barca lounger a little too long. Just expecting stuff to work out. Kind of being lazy. Do you know it's work? It's work to go out on the offensive. It requires effort and energy to be expended. Yeah? But we have weapons. The Word of God is a sharper than any two-edged sword. Divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Why would the Word of God have to discern between soul and spirit? Because your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, what you think, how you process, needs to be discerned between what your spirit is actually saying, because they're different. Your spirit is the real you, manufactured and made after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your spirit is alive unto God, not to be confused with your mind, your will, and your emotions. The Word of God will separate those and go, no, that's not from God. That's just your thinking. That's just how you were raised. That's just some stuff that you haven't weeded out yet. That's some emotions that are not supposed to drive your decision making. The Word of God will separate that from you, for you. And it'll tell you, yeah, I need to follow my spirit. My spirit's hearing from God. My spirit's being led by the Spirit of God. My spirit is hearing from the Word of God. And my emotions are taking me in someplace else. That's what the Word of God does. Gives us distinction between the two. But it's also a weapon. Two-edged swords are weapons to go after the enemy. So let's look at a few things. You guys ready? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Come on, that's the schemes, the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all, everybody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the armor of God. That's the armor of God. When it says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, I think of Looney Tunes and Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And how many of his plans, who knows what I'm talking about? Roadrunner and Coyote. Okay, the kids are like, huh? Y'all need to just Google some stuff from some old cartoons, Looney Tunes. The Roadrunner's constantly getting away from Coyote. You know what I'm talking about? And Coyote's always trying to set up these elaborate traps, and they're bombs, and they're anvils, and they're, you know, it's not PC anymore, because he's blowing stuff up, and he's setting traps. It's not PC anymore. The poor little Roadrunner. PETA shut it down. But the cartoon's still findable. And I just get this vision of the enemy just keep trying to set up traps for you, and you know what happens to Coyote every time he sets a trap up? It shoots off in the air and circles back around and gets him. And just he ends up just flat. And he ends up trying to flap his arms and off the edge of a cliff and falling. It's just, I just see the enemy just constantly, he's trying to set stuff up for you and set stuff up for you. But because you're being led by the Spirit and you're in your armor, you just keep missing plan after plan. You just keep missing them and they just keep coming right back around and squishing himself. Yeah? I mean, this is the beautiful life we live. That we can be led by the Spirit of God and he can lead us out of traps that are set up for us. Yeah? But it takes a little discernment, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of understanding from the Word of God. That's why we're growing and we're increasing in the knowledge of God. Because when we understand what the Word says, we will apply it to our lives and we will see it work. So don't be upset with where you're at if you haven't seen victory after victory yet. Come on, you're in the right place. This is where we learn about the Word of God and we learn to go to it first place, ingest it, absorb it into us till it becomes our reality. Because you can repeat what I tell you up here, but until it's real to you, it's not going to work the same. It's called revelation. You have to have an understanding in your spirit of what the word says about you and who you are in Christ and what God wants to do for you. Amen? You can't get that from one Sunday a week. You can't get that from just hearing me encourage you and exhort you to go to the word. You have to get this from the word for yourself. You're unstoppable when you know the word. So let's look at this. Verse 14, standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This is the belt of truth. Do y'all remember the day when your belt ceased to become an accessory and became a mandatory provision? That is a sad day. Do you remember that day? I mean, I used to wear pants with no belt, and they did not want to slide off. I'm like, I better wear this belt today. The belt in this day, when he's making this reference, was a critical part of the armor. It held the sword to your side. There was clips for your shield, these arm shields that you could clip on, so you had your arms free. Because when these guys were, when they were in battle, they had to set stuff down and move stuff, equipment, whatever, but they kept their equipment on them. Come on, they had their taser and their handcuffs, right? Their pepper spray. You had to have this stuff on. This is the belt of truth. This is what holds it together. Your breastplate ties into your belt of truth with their loins. It protects their lower or their upper legs. The belt of truth is integral in this armor. And he's telling us something. We've got to have the truth. We've got to discern the truth. That's why we're fighting in this season right now, to have the truth with what's going on in our country. We need to know what's actually happening. Amen? When the truth comes out, come on, there's liberty and there's freedom. The same is true in the Word of God. We've got to have the truth. So you can't afford to be led astray from the Word of God with just any old teaching. You can't afford that. You got to pay attention to what you're hearing and what you're listening to in the Word of God. When your spirit bristles over something, come on, not your soul, not your emotions, your spirit, the real you. When you hear something on TV, when you hear something from another teacher, preacher, even if something I said, your spirit bristles, listen to that. Because there's a difference between what you thought was right, how you were taught before, and the Holy Spirit's trying to tweak it and correct you and get something right on the inside because you're believing wrong, and there's something on the inside that says, I don't think that's right, and I can't put my finger on it, but I'm going to study and find out why. Your spirit's telling you something, because the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. Jesus said that. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you things to come, and he will lead you into all truth. And you can trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? So he's telling us, put on this belt of truth. Make sure your decisions and your assertions are based on the Word of God. Everybody okay? It's important. I mean, this is our manual. This is truth. This is what we listen to. This is what we go to. Yeah? And the Bible says that we need to, as Christians, we need to rightly divide this word. Why would he say that? Because there are many who wrongly divide it. Come on, they just take some scriptures and just make it say what they want it to say. Not look at it in context. Not look at it in significance of what's being said. And they just pluck things out. Put on the belt of truth, he said. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the belt's holding your stuff up. It's keeping everything attached, right? It's important. Breastplate of righteousness protects your vitals. This is the thing that covers your torso. Front and back protects you. Righteousness is your protection. Do you know you have to understand your righteousness in Christ? If you're born again, you are not a sinner anymore. Stop saying that. Stop agreeing with that. You're not a sinner anymore. You're an adopted son and daughter of God. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Agree with God. It's so important that we understand righteousness that he made it the breastplate. He made it the torso cover, your kidneys, your heart, your liver, all the stuff that you do not want to be hit in a battle. It's your righteousness. It's who you are. We have an epidemic of Christians that do not know who they are in Christ. They're not wearing their breastplate of righteousness. And their vitals are being attacked. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's important. You don't have to get up in the morning and read through this and go, okay, Lord, I'm putting on the helmet and I'm putting on the breastplate. No, it's better to understand what he's talking about and add that to your life. Seek truth only. Understand the righteousness of God and declare and decree it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is not sacrilegious to say that. You are agreeing with God Almighty when he says that about you. That's actually humility in truth. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's humility to agree with God. So we have to think this way. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when the enemy comes and he says, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? I saw what you did last summer. Come on now. The enemy's going to just, he's going to remind you of your past. And you have messed up since you got saved. But the blood of Jesus, amen, washes you clean. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you got to declare and decree that. Amen? You guys okay? Yes. Oh, come on, it's too early if y'all be falling asleep. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Come on, being prepared to tell somebody about the gospel is putting on your armor. Do you know that? Now, I don't know about your kids, but my kids struggle with putting shoes on. And it is really frustrating for me. We live on a little bit of acreage, and I tell them constantly, if you're going to come outside and find me or meet me outside, put shoes on. And my four-year-old comes out with just socks. Just socks! And it's muddy and wet, and y'all are like, what's wrong with that? It drives me nuts. That's what's wrong with it. He's walking through puddles and sloshing. And so now they'll put some shoes on, but she'll have a snow boot on one foot and a flip-flop on the other. And technically, she did what I asked. So it's hard to get super upset about that. But, you know, there's some preparation that goes into going out in the snow and the mud. And you know, come on, no shirt, no shoes, no service is a real thing. And God's just asking us to put on the breastplate of righteousness and put on our shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we could be prepared to present the gospel to people. Amen? Put your shoes on. Be ready. It takes a little practice, a little time, you know, to tie them babies on. But it's important that we do it. Yeah? That's the preparation of the gospel of peace. And taking the shield of faith. I love this one because he says, if you take the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What in the world is a fiery dart from the wicked one? This is important to understand because the enemy, the devil, has access to you only through thoughts and ideas and suggestions. This is what the Bible's talking about, fiery darts. He's just... You guys ever play lawn darts as a kid? Yeah, it's terrifying, right? Used to just throw those straight in the sky and just run like crazy. Those games, you guys never did that? I'm telling you, that's why that you can't find them anymore. But that's all the enemy has is he just lobs ideas and thoughts and suggestions into your mind to see what'll stick, what you will believe about yourself and about the situation. Yeah, that's all he has. And the shield of faith blocks that. What does that mean? The shield of faith is what you believe. It's your filter. It's how you filter what comes in. Your shield of faith. It's meant to recognize that's not from God. That's not from the Word. I'm not thinking that. I'm not even ingesting that. I'm not giving that thought the time of day. That suggestion, that idea, that doesn't agree with my belief system. That's what your shield of faith is. What you believe is what you protect yourself with. You hear me? And we have to pick this up and make sure we recognize what we believe. Because far too many of us have, at times past, just absorbed some thoughts in and let that thing spin around and spin around and spin around. And it will wreck you. You think that stuff long enough, it will bring you to places you did not want to be. Come on now, every sin, everything we've fallen into in our lives did not just happen to us where we bumped into it. There has been a process to get there, a thought, an idea, a suggestion. You have played that out already in your mind and then made provision for it. Yeah? The same is true when we receive the blessings of God. Come on, there's some thoughts that you need to think about the Word of God and about yourself that you'll have to meditate on and stew around and then see it happening and then watch it manifest in your life. Those are the thoughts, the ideas, suggestions we get from the Word of God that we allow through the filter of faith to get into us. That agrees with what God says about me, that He loves me, that I'm an adopted son and daughter. Come on now. That I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He gave that to me. That I'm covered by the blood, amen? By the blood of Jesus that shed for Him on the mercy seat. He has washed me clean. These are thoughts we need to think about ourselves and let them ruminate and go around and around till we get them so good on the inside that it is part of who we are. Yeah? But our faith shield keeps out the rest. And there are holes in our faith shield at times that we need to recognize. That we put our faith shield up and they come through because we believe that about ourselves. And it's not right. Amen? So He's asking us to take up the armor. Come on, these are our protections. These are our weapons. Thank you, Jesus. And then He says, take the sword, the helmet of salvation. Come on, protect in our mind who you are in Christ. You have been redeemed. Guard your noggin. You are saved. Born again. Heaven is your home. Those are good thoughts to have. They protect your mind. They protect your head. Your salvation, your redemption is not just you going to heaven. It's all-encompassing. Salvation was redemption, healing, wholeness, soundness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness comes in salvation. That's good news. Amen? So thinking about meditating on this, what this armor is in Ephesians 6, why did He list this? So that we would understand what's protecting us and what's a weapon. Got to get it on the inside. Yeah? And then take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the tool. This is the offensive weapon. This is what we've got to have hidden in our hearts, speaking out of our mouths. Amen? This is how we go after the enemy when he's bugging us, when stuff's going on. You attack it with the Word. Come on, positive confession will only get you so far. Positive attitude, positive mind. Come on, the world's figured some scientific things out about just being positive. Did you know that? Scientifically proven, just happy, positive people just experience more positive things. Their bodies work better for them when they're fighting off diseases. Laughter truly does good like a medicine. Yeah? But there's something about applying the Word in that positive sense that does something for you. And it's dramatic and impactful. It's the Word. It's the sword of the Spirit. And you've got to have it in your mouth. You got to speak it out of your mouth. It's the weapon against the enemy. When he comes and brings a thought to you, you have to counter it with the Word of God. That's not what the Bible says. You know what thoughts you let in. And we're all different. You know what they are. Come on, the enemy knows what they are. He knows what you let in and what you don't. That's your thing. That's the thing you got to work on. That's the part of your faith shield that you got to close up. That's the hole that you're allowing the enemy to get in into your thought life. Into what you think about yourself, right? When you close that up, you got to find scripture for that. That's how you close up that faith shield. That's how you get your sword out of its sheath. You say, this is what the Word of God says. It says, greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Come on, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. This is when you get scripture like that, when you get a hold of that, this is what makes the difference. Yeah? You've got to go to the scripture yourself. You've got to find it yourself. You've got to find the scriptures that address the issue you're dealing with right now. That's how we do it. That's how we work. That's what the scripture tells us to do. Take up the sword of the Spirit. You're taking up the Word of God. I know this is a lot to take in. Read through Ephesians 6. You'll see this for yourself. Read through it. This is what God's asking us to do, to take up the armor. I'm telling you, that protection, that paying attention, that sword of the Spirit going after the enemy, and I'm telling you, put him on the run. He does not want to fight an armed Christian. He does not want to fight somebody who knows who they are. He does not want to fight them. I'm telling you. He is cowardly. He is defeated. He has to lay down and walk away when we resist him. Come on, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Best way to resist the devil is to armor up, take your sword out, and sling some scripture. Come on, he'll get out of there. Not forever, but for that season, for that moment. And he'll come back and test again, see if you're armored up. Come on, now you just get out the sword. What does the word say? You have to do that for you. You guys okay? This will change your life. It'll help you in every area. Come on, you can be happy, sufficiently supplied, healthy, healed body. Come on, doing the works of Jesus right up until Jesus comes back for the church. You can live a good life, not without challenge. Come on, not without circumstance, but you can be in the middle of a storm with a smile on your face because you're doing what God told you to do. Yeah? Thank you, Lord. And then he says, finishes it with, pray always. Pray always. With all supplication in the Spirit. Pray always. We've talked several weeks about praying in the Spirit. The Bible has a lot to say about praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, speaking in tongues. You guys heard those terms? They're all in the Bible. All talking about the same thing, praying in the Spirit. There's a lot to be said about that. When you can pray in the Spirit, you can pray the perfect will of God for your life. The Bible says we're speaking mysteries when we pray in the Spirit. And he's asking us at the end of this to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the saints, in the Spirit. He's asking us to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Amen? It's an important tool. Another weapon at our disposal to pray things out. God is good to us. I got to pray in Mama. Recently, I was putting a roof on my shop, and I was delighted that my mom was over helping my daughters do some stuff, some projects, because I knew the second that my mom saw me standing on a roof that she would be interceding for my safety. And even my daughter came out and she said, Dad, Grammy's freaked out. She's praying in the Holy Ghost in there for you. And I said, I was counting on it, actually. So I'm good. You got to have prayers in your life. And you got to be a prayer in someone else's life. Amen? Because at some point, the Lord tarries is coming. Come on, your grandma and your mama aren't going to be around to pray for you. And you're going to be the prayer. So it's a good habit to get into right now. Praying for others, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Amen? Lifting up others, interceding for them. That means standing in the gap for them when they don't know to do it for themselves. Because you don't know what lives you're affecting when you do that. So be a prayer. Amen? He said, pray always. That's to all the church. Pray always. In all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. Can we do that? God is good. I'm going to pray for you, but those that are going to be baptized, I'm going to let you sneak out of here so you can go get changed. And we're going to do that in a minute. But let me pray for you as they're sneaking out. Let's just cover this message in prayer and seal it into our spirits. Can we do that?
Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to chat with you and help you in your walk with God. We invite you to connect with us at wcspokane.com/connect, and someone from our team will be in touch with you. You can also hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new content in the future. Thanks again for joining us, and remember, Jesus is coming soon.